Good morning. First case to be argued this morning, the United States versus Howard. Joe Yea.
Good morning, Your Honor. If it pleases the court, my name is Anthony Delling, and I represent Mr. Terrell Howard. I would like to talk to the court briefly this morning, quite briefly, in fact, about Apprendi and Ring. Long ago,
you also should mention Rita.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'll get to that. Long ago, the Supreme Court said that they had to overrule Walton to the extent that it allowed a sentencing judge sitting without a jury to find circumstances that would aggravate a sentence. That was in a capital case, and for some reason, the court later found that in capital cases, this was important. In other cases, it was not. Mr. Howard believes, and I believe, that the Sixth Amendment and the Constitution allow him the opportunity to have any facts that must be found at his sentencing to be found by a jury and beyond reasonable doubt. And I realize that the law is well settled in that matter, and I won't spend a lot of time with the court about that today, but I want to just give you a little bit of background that was in this brief. What happens, Your Honor, is that my clients have to go before a judge, and they have to make a decision. They can either decide that they want to contest facts that are included in the pre-sentence investigation, or they make a decision not to. And really, what happens in the Western District of Wisconsin, where I practice, and particularly in front of Judge Shabazz, is they almost always decide not to. And so they never have a chance to have a hearing because it's in front of a judge who they are fairly certain is going to rule against them by a preponderance standard. Lately, the judge has even used clear and convincing and other standards, but the bottom line is it's in front of Judge Shabazz, and I cannot counsel my clients that it is ever a good idea unless I have virtually immutable proof that they are not guilty of something or that they weren't involved in something.
You see, Mr. Dallier, in a case such as this, you have a defendant with a very long history of drug offenses. There's, you know, he's a tragic figure. There's no question about that. But in light of his long history of drug offenses, a sentence within the guidelines range, even at the top of the range, is per se reasonable. So your hill to climb is...
I agree with you, Your Honor, on every fact of that. However, the point is he doesn't get to take a step up the hill. He never gets to go there because essentially what had happened was he was arrested at his house during a search for drugs, and they found these shells. The shells did not belong to him. However, he knew they were there. He was laughing at the police because they weren't his. He didn't realize that he had legal responsibility because he knew they were there. And I could have attempted, and I would have in front of another judge, to try to get him some sort of a variance or a lower sentence because of the fact that they weren't his, and he never used them, and he knew nothing more than they were there. But in front of Judge Shabazz, I'm risking losing acceptance of responsibility. And I realized that this sentence, even had the judge found that he did not know they were there, that he only knew they were there and had nothing else to do about them, the sentence might be reasonable. But he's never given the process in which he can assure that there was a fair result. And that is all that we are seeking. We just wish to preserve this issue, that this is a matter that, in all matters, in fact, that a judge should be the fact finder, or a jury should be the fact finder, and it should always be beyond a reasonable doubt.
No, that's, there's a guilty plea, right?
Yes, sir.
And plea for acknowledging possession, is that what it was?
I'm sorry?
What was the plea? What was in the plea about the shit and the ammunition?
That he knew that it was there.
He possessed it. Now, he's going to argue something like, well, since it was in his house, he possessed it, but it wasn't his or something like that. That's not, of course, that wasn't in the plea agreement.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So So he obviously couldn't be in the plea agreement.
Correct. But I think that in front of virtually any other judge, I would have had motions seeking to have him looked at as a minor player or minor participant in this. I realize that it was a simple possession judge. But the point I'm trying to make is not the result is unfair. It is the process by which we get there that is unfair. He is not given.
If you have a trade-off between acceptance of responsibility or contesting it, I guess.
Contesting anything about it.
Responsibility comes with the plea.
Correct. But Judge Shabazz has in the past taken acceptance of responsibility away from people that have argued about relatively minor things. And so we're not allowed to do that because it's to a judge and it's a preponderance standard.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, as I mentioned, Rita, because the government, the case came down and the government cited it extensively and then he ignored it in the reply brief. So I just think that you at least have to say something. Maybe all what you said here, but don't ignore it.
Thank you, Judge.
Ms. Rumbelow?
Good morning, Your Honors. Rita Rumbelow for the United States. I handled this case below in district court. This case has nothing to do with acceptance of responsibility. It was a very straightforward felon in possession of ammunition case. In fact, Mr. Howard waived his right to indictment, entered a timely guilty plea to an information. The PSR was uncontested. It was a guideline range of 70 to 87 months. That was not even based on any fact-finding by the judge. It was just a very straightforward 2K2.1 guideline application. Again, felon in possession of ammunition. Again, Mr. Howard never challenged the guideline calculations below. He never argued for a lower sentence based on 3553A. Therefore, he has waived any challenge to his sentence on appeal.
Is this conviction his first since the 2003 shooting?
Yes.
This is the first.
I believe so. But so when Judge Shabazz was faced with a sentencing guideline range of 70 to 87 months, as this court recognizes, that's a reasonable sentence. It was within a properly calculated guideline range. Nobody objected to it. Even on appeal, they're not contending that the guideline range was erroneous in any way. And Judge Shabazz chose a sentence at the top of the guideline range because Mr. Howard's criminal history began when he was 19 years old. As this court has already recognized, a lot of drug offenses. He has a history of drug and alcohol abuse. He had pending state charges at the time he committed the instant offense. And so under 3553A, Judge Shabazz appropriately sentenced him at the high end of the guideline range. And again, that was never contested below. The only thing stated at the sentencing hearing was Mr. Howard asked Judge Shabazz to sentence me as a human being. That was it. That was the only...
What?
He asked him to sentence him as a human being.
He has a fairly serious disability. Is he as much of a threat as Judge Shabazz seemed to think he was, given that disability?
Well, the law enforcement officers did go into that apartment. They had probable cause for a search warrant based on narcotics. It's not in the record, but when I reviewed the case, I do recall that there had been police intelligence that he had a firearm in his wheelchair. That's not in the record. So, based on his criminal history and the underlying facts of this case, yes. But again, under Rita, any sentence within a properly calculated guideline range is per se reasonable. But Mr. Howard did waive appellate review of this issue anyway.
Curiously, with his disability, is there some special prison?
Yes, he's in South Carolina at a medical facility, which is why he appeared telephonically for sentencing in this matter.
Okay. Is that a national, place for people like him to go?
I believe so, yes, Your Honor.
So he'll be there for probably the duration of his sentence?
He will be, yes. Thank you. I ask the court to affirm the judgment and conviction of the district court.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do you have anything to add? You've got a lot of time for rebuttal.
Briefly, Your Honor. Mr. Howard did spend a good part of the year at that medical facility. However, he is now in Kentucky at a Bureau of Prisons medical facility. I don't know that Rita really is the case that I would want to talk about today. I think that Kimbrough essentially explained quite clearly that there is no per se presumption that a guideline sentence is reasonable. Thank you.
Thanks. Case will be taken under advisement.